Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter number 2. We're making a little bit of headway here. Today we're going to talk specifically about this issue. If you look down at verse Ephesians 2:18, we're going to talk specifically about this issue of access. Access. You see how he says at verse 18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." See that? So let's have a word of prayer as we get ourselves going this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we're grateful that we can spend some time this morning in your Word and allow your Word to remind us about the access that we do have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get together here each week, that we can be encouraged by fellowshipping together in the mystery, by talking with one another to find out how our week went, how life's going, and to be a spiritual encouragement to one another. Because, God, we all experience the challenges of this life, living in this present evil world where Satan is the god of this world, and yet being members one of another in Christ, indwelt by your Holy Spirit, complete, blessed, sealed, loved by you, and therefore able to walk by faith in the identity you've given us in Christ and to minister to one another. We do pray to that end, and that our time this morning will indeed result in our edification. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. As we proceed here, as I mentioned, we're going to talk specifically about access this morning and the significance of access, what it all means. I'm going to have you look at three passages, so write these down. We'll actually end with these passages, but I want you to know where these are. And I want you to make sure that you make connections in your Bible. The first one is Romans 5. Verses 1 and 2, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, and then next, the passage we just read, Ephesians 2:18, and then next to that, you're going to write down Ephesians 3:12, and we're going to look at all three of these verses to introduce our message this morning, okay? So, look at Romans 5, 1. Start at Romans 5, 1, then we're going to jump back to Ephesians 2, then we're going to go back to Ephesians 3. Okay? And notice what he says here. So Romans 5, 1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Aren't you glad for that, by the way? "We have," notice it's a present possession that you have. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The justice of God is forever for you now. The justice of God will never be against you. Right? The peace in that verse is peace with God in connection with the justice of God. You never have to fear the wrath of God. You never have to fear the justice of God because God is eternally for you. Is that good to know, by the way? Why is that good to know? That God is eternally for you. You can experience the peace of God. And what'd you say, Nathan?
You can relax.
Let me ask you this way. Let me use an illustration real quick. When it's really cold outside, and y'all are from Southern California, so that means about, what, 60 degrees, 65 degrees. So, but when it's really cold outside, and you're all bundled up and everything, you're still a little kind of...
on edge.
You're on edge. But like, how was the weather yesterday? Oh, man, you just go out in the sunlight, and just the warmth. Can't you just feel it over your body? Can't you just kind of relax? See the difference there? So let's just let the sunlight, the warmth of the radiation of God's grace and His love and His justice that's for you, let that just relax you in the grace of God. See that? Now look at the next verse. He says, "By whom," now who's the whom there? That's Christ. "By whom also we have," and there's our word. What do we have? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See the word access there? So keep that verse in mind. Now go back to Ephesians 2. Go back to Ephesians 2:18. Ephesians 2:18, he says this, "For through him we both have," what? There it is again. "Access by one Spirit." Access to who? "Unto the Father." See that there? And now, jump ahead to chapter 3, verse 12. This is the third time the Apostle Paul uses that word, access. He says, "In whom?" The whom is Christ there. Notice every single time it's by or through Christ. It says, "In whom we have," not just access, but we have boldness and access. And not just boldness and access, but boldness and access with what? With confidence. By the faith of Him. That's the faith of Christ right there. So we're going to talk this morning about the issue of access. And in order for us to appreciate the significance of the access that we have, who that access is to, the type of access that it is, what we're going to do to start the message, we're going to go and look at the access that people did, or maybe I should say didn't, have to God prior to the dispensation of grace. And of course, we're talking specifically, such as back in the Old Testament. You're in Ephesians 2. Bring back to your frame of reference the condition that we as Gentiles had. Let's say that we were living during the Old Testament times. Let's say we were living in the days of Moses. Or let's say that we were living in the days of Isaiah. Or let's say we were living in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He was here on the earth. We as Gentiles, what kind of access did we have to the Father? That's the question. Yeah, it was limited to none. Direct access that we had as Gentiles was zero. It was none. Now, why do I say that? Well, look at the verses. Look at what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 12. He says that at that time, ye, he's talking about the Gentiles, ye were, notice, without Christ, 2:12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God and Lord. Do you see any access in that verse? Not only that, I'm going to jump ahead to verse 14. There's some other things that were in the way. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Okay, so what was in the way? The middle wall of partition was up and it was in the way. Not only that, hold Ephesians 2, come to Colossians. This is all review, by the way, so that's why I'm going quickly on this, okay? Go back to Colossians chapter number 2. Not only was the middle wall of partition up and in the way, it was a wall, it divided, it was a partition, it kept us out. It prevented, it hindered access. Look at Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting, did I give you the right reference? 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that was, he says two things about the handwriting of ordinances, the law. Number one, it was against us. Number two, it was contrary to us. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, just real quickly. Up on the board here, I'm going to try to depict this if I can. We're going to have this representing, this up here is going to represent God, okay, the arrows of who He is. And this isn't going to fit. This is going to be a real hard, difficult thing to try to do. This is going to represent God, all right? Here's the Gentiles, okay? There you are. There's God. Between you and God, there was that wall of partition. Okay? That wall stood in the way. Not only was there that wall that stood in the way, the law of commandments contained in ordinances was against us. It was contrary to us. Not only that, that wall separated between two different peoples. Who? That's exactly right. So Israel was over here. So who was nigh to God, relatively speaking? Israel was nigh to God relative to you. In saying that we had zero access to God, could a Gentile get to God? Yes, how? He had to go through Israel and come under the law. So I'm not saying at all that there were never any Gentiles in the Old Testament saved. Of course there were. There's a number of pictures in the Old Testament. One of the clearest is in the book of Ruth. Remember Ruth and so forth? She said, "Thy people will be my people, thy God will be my God." So she's a clear example. So clearly there are Gentiles who could be and were blessed by God. But there was a channel that they had to go through. So the access was, in and of themselves, it was zero. If they wanted to get access, even then it was limited. They could not go direct to God. Well, not only that. How about in the nation of Israel? Did Israel have unfettered, unlimited, unbroken access to God? They did not, did they? Within the nation of Israel, there was one particular tribe. I'm going to change my little diagram. Well, I'm going to do it this way. Okay, so this little box, I guess I should throw that one away, right? Right, Beth? All right. This little box here is going to represent the tabernacle where God was going to dwell. That tabernacle, you guys know, was divided into two compartments. The first compartment was called the holy place. The other compartment was called the Holy of Holies. That's where God's glory dwelt. That's where God was. God told Israel He was going to dwell among His people, the nation of Israel. He was going to dwell in that tabernacle. Among the nation of Israel, He chose one tribe of all the tribes that were going to be the priests. Anybody remember who that was? That was the tribe of Levi. Okay? But from the tribe of Levi, He chose one family exclusively to be the priests who would sacrifice. Anybody remember that was?
Aaron.
That was Aaron. Aaron and his sons. So even if you were Israel, did you have unfettered, unbroken, free, unlimited access to God? Now, who'd you have to go through? You had to go through the Levites. But even the Levites, they were not the ones who offered the blood sacrifices. The Levites' responsibility was for the maintenance of the actual facility. They were facility managers. Anybody facility manager? Right? That's what they were. For example, when the tabernacle was to be packed up and they were going to change their campsite, so to speak, because it was a mobile. That was the first mobile home, by the way. How do you like that? But they packed it all up and then transported it to the next spot, set it down, reestablished it, put the stakes in the ground and so forth. Well, that's what the Levites did. And it was Aaron and his sons that were the priests that exclusively could enter in, they could offer the sacrifice out here on the altar, and then they had to go through the washing of the water, the laver, and then they would enter into that holiest of holies. The holy place. Now, every day, that priest, Aaron and his sons, they were to go into the holy place twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the evening. And if I can make that a little bit larger, here's what would happen. There is. This is around the whole thing. There's a big separation around the whole thing. Okay? Over here was the table of the showbread, what they called the showbread. Okay? They had the bread on there. Right here was the table of incense. Right here was the candlestick. Okay? Twice a day, that priest was to go in, double check the showbread, make sure the incense was lit, make sure the candle's doing good, and, as I say, beat feet out of there. All right? Get out of there. He was not supposed to linger in there twice a day. So even the high priest, did they have unlimited, free, open, unbroken access? Even their access was limited. By the way, Right on the other side of that veil, that's where the glory of God was. The Ark of the Covenant was there. The mercy seat was there. The seraphim were there and so forth. The law was in there. That's where the brightness of the glory of God dwelt. Right inside that veil. Imagine this is the veil. Now it was a whole lot thicker than that and so forth. And I don't know the thickness of it. So that priest, and you've heard me say it before, every twice a day when that priest went in there, you know how close he came to death? Twice a day that guy would have to walk in there. Imagine that poor guy, you know, he's just kind of, you know, like a little kid, you know, just kind of real quick, like that. He'd have been stuffed out.
Did anybody ever do
that? Well, they didn't do that, but I'll show you something that they did do that turned out bad, okay? I'll get there just a moment. So even the high priest, even though he's going in there twice a day, he still does not have unbroken, unfettered, unlimited, open, free access to the presence of God. Now, once a year, the high priest could actually enter into the veil. And I suspect that he was a little nervous when he did it. That will shed some light on why Paul in Ephesians 3 says we have boldness and access with confidence. See that? I suspect that when that priest went in there, and how about the first time he did it? How about his wife and his kids outside? Are we going to see Dad tonight? Is he coming back?
I bet the bill.
Yeah. You know? You got to understand, the first time that guy goes in that, okay, I hope this works. He had to go in there and he had to have blood, the blood of the sacrifice to sprinkle, and he had to get right back out of there. See that? Now, granted, that was access. He was into the presence of God. But it was a little nerve-wracking. It was not unbroken. It was not unlimited. It was not free any time of the day, any day of the year. Just come on in and talk to me. It was not that at all. Let's take a few minutes and look at some of these passages, if you would. Go with me, if you would. We're going to start actually over in the book of Exodus. And I know we got to do this relatively quickly, so we're not going to read all the extended passages, and some of these you'll have to fill in details later on. In the book of Exodus 19, this is after God has brought Israel out of Egypt and He's going to give them the law. He's going to come and appear to Israel. And I want you to see, this is when He appears to Israel for the first time after He's brought them out of Egypt. And God told Moses, you go tell Israel that after the third day I'm going to come and appear to you. This God, their God, who performed all the signs, the plagues, the wonders in Egypt, that they had never seen Him before. Now He's going to come and appear to them. 3 days. Now think about all the things you'd be asking. Man, God, yeah, get a haircut. Put your tie on straight kind of a thing. You know, pull your pants up, whatever. Make sure you have clean shoes or whatever kind of a thing. You know, watch this. So Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to start at verse 14. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. There it is, right there. See that? And he said unto them, unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp, what? Listen, the first time their God appears unto them, it's absolutely terrifying event. Keep reading. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. I mean, does this God sound like someone you want to approach anyway? Look at the next statement. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and wax louder and louder and so forth. Jump ahead to chapter 20. You can fill in the details later. Go to chapter number 20. Watch verse 18. 20 verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. The book of Hebrews also tells us that even Moses said about this incident, even Moses said, I do exceedingly fear and quake. When God appears to Israel and gives them the law, this is how He appears. Do you really want to be under the law? Is this the God that you want to... Is this the God you want to have a relationship with in the sense of this is how you want Him to deal with you? See that? So keep that in mind. And when God says, I'm going to appear with you, this is what they get in connection with the giving of the law. Fear, trembling, terrifying situation. Keep that in mind. Let's move on quickly. Go with me, if you would, over to, let's see, Leviticus chapter number 8. No, I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 8. We'll come back to Leviticus here. Go to Numbers chapter number 8. Remember I said that the Levites were separated from the rest of the tribes, but Aaron, who was a Levite, and his family exclusively were the priests that would offer the sacrifices. Remember that? So look at Numbers chapter 8. I'm going to jump ahead. Numbers 8, verse 13. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them there for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them there for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And have taken the Levites from all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and have given the Levites as a gift Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle, and so on. See that? So he separates the Levites. Their job is to maintain the tabernacle. Aaron's job and his sons is to be the priests, to offer the sacrifices. See that? There's a difference between who's their responsibilities. Now go with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 10. Watch and let's see how serious God is about not only who approaches Him, but whether they approach Him correctly. Look at Leviticus chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. And you have two guys here, Nadab and Abihu. They're two of Aaron's sons. So were they two of the priests who could legitimately approach unto God? Yes, but watch what happens. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Does it sound like it was kind of serious? Did it sound like the Lord took serious who was going to have actual access to Him? These guys come in. They're the right tribe. They're the right family. But they come presumptuously, bring the wrong fire, and the fire gets them instead. The very next statement the Lord says, look at verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, I mean, because Aaron's probably quite upset about the fact that the Lord just killed his two sons, right? Moses says this, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified." You know what I mean? But, you know what he means by, he says, Moses, I'm serious. Someone wants to come to my presence, I'll be sanctified one way or the other. If they come and do it right, great. If they come and do it wrong, they're going to demonstrate how holy, it's going to be demonstrated how holy I am. This was an absolute, visible, physical demonstration of the fact that God was holy and righteous. So even if you were for the right tribe, even if you're the right family, you have to do it right, or else say goodbye to your kids. Yes, big time. Not only that, go with me to another passage, if you would. Are you in Leviticus? Look at chapter 21. Look at chapter number 21. Watch this. This is a... Look at 21, verse 17. Look at chapter 21, verse 17. Watch what he says here. I'm going to start at verse 16. He says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron." Okay, so who's Aaron now? He's from the right nation, he's from the right tribe, and he's the right family, right? Watch what he says. "Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach." Stop there. Don't read anything else just yet. So even if you are from the right nation and the right tribe and the right family, did you still have unbroken, unlimited, free, open, 24-hour day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year access? You could have no blemish.
That was it.
I'm telling you. Nothing. But not only no blemish, it's going to get quite graphic here. Watch what he says, okay? And I'm not trying to... Look at what... Yeah. He says, "A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose." Okay, quick, check them out real quickly. "Or anything superfluous." Well, now define that one. You were asking me earlier to define something. Define that one, would you? Keep going. "Or a man that is broken footed." I got to quit riding my dirt bikes, don't I? "Broken handed." It's going to get real graphic here, so I didn't write this. I'm just reading it, okay? "Or a crooked backed, a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken." Figure that one out. Yeah, we don't need to talk more about that, right? "No man that hath..." Yeah, some of you all need to figure out what that is, right? "No man..." Ask mom and dad at home, okay? How's that? "No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God." Now, he says, he shall eat the bread of his... He can still eat of the sacrifices, but don't you let that man come near me. Do you see the nature of the law? This is all manifest. This is all God, insane. God is demonstrating the nature of the law. The law demands perfection in every aspect.
The penalty is death if you don't.
Man, guys, I'm just quoting the verse. So don't get mad at me. And don't misunderstand me. Even to your stones, guys. Okay, that's what it says. Don't take offense. That's the Word of God right there. I'm telling you, even the right nation, the right tribe, the right family, they had to check those male babies out from head to toe to see if the guy was going to be able to offer. And if he had any blemish at all, no access. He could still eat of the bread and of the sacrifices. Is that the access you want? Was it access to God? It was. They could go in. That high priest who had no blemishes. And by the way, we didn't look at the other verses. There were only a certain number of years in which they could actually access God. The priest could only operate for a certain number of years, right? They could go in the holy place twice a day, get in, get out. The holiest of holies, only once a year, in the very presence of God. Question. Was it a privilege? Was it an honor? Was it truly a marvelous thing to be able to enter into the very presence of God? Absolutely. And to come back out, right? Alive. You know what we find now? Things have changed. How many of us, male and female, had blemishes? Every hand should go up. How many of us had anything that the justice of God could have and should have looked at and said, no access? Every one of us. But because of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, blemishes are not, they're not even seen anymore. They're gone. There's nothing that God puts on a list and says, if you have this, this, or this, then you cannot approach unto me. If you're in Christ. Now go back to Romans 5. See where we're going with this? Now go back to Romans chapter number 5, if you would. Go back to Romans chapter number 5. Look over to Romans chapter 5. Watch what it says here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We read it earlier. Therefore, being justified. Justified is to be declared righteous. When you trust the blood of Jesus Christ for alone for your salvation, God does a number of things to you. You've heard me kind of joke and say before, we need to print a bumper sticker that says, has God done it to you? Another crazy discussion, right? The answer is, yeah, God did it to me. What did He do? He baptized me into Christ when I trusted the blood of Jesus Christ. He justified me. He declared me to be righteous by putting me into Christ, and now Christ is my righteousness. Question, who is your righteousness? How do you know that that's true? Because Scripture says so. So how does God see you? He sees you righteous. Therefore, being justified, declared righteous. The justice of God has declared you to be righteous by putting you into Christ, and now Christ is your righteousness. Isn't that marvelous? Think about that. Therefore, being justified, how? By faith. Not by works of any kind at any time. And what's the result? We have peace with God. The justice of God is eternally for you. And it's through who? The last part of that sentence is so important. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think again. First of all, if we were Gentiles back here, did we have unfettered, unbroken access? No. We had zero or limited at best. We had to get through the wall. The law was against us. We had to go through Israel. But even they had limited conditional access. Even Israel's access was through the high priest. But that was limited, conditional. Even that high priest had access. But there were a lot of conditions on that. Not only from head to toe, his appearance, no blemishes, but the times that he could get in and the frequency. That verse says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Remember that. It's not through you. It's not through me. The peace that we have with God is not conditioned upon us. It's conditioned upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Question. Did Jesus Christ have any blemishes of any kind ever at all? None at all. He was 100% accepted by God. His work on the cross. We talked about that last week. The greatest work of all. Greatest work of all. Look at the next statement. By whom also. This is in addition to the peace that we have. Now watch this. It says, by whom also we have what? Access. Notice, he just says, by we have access. There are no limits, no boundaries, no stipulations, no conditions. If you're in Christ, you have access. The door is open. He doesn't look whether or not you have blemishes, because if you're in Christ, there are none. They're gone. Doesn't matter what tribe you're from. Doesn't matter what family you're from. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. That law has been, I'm sorry, that middle wall has been broken down. The law that was against us, contrary, He nailed it. He took it out of the way. Jew and Gentile are placed on one level ground and so forth. The tabernacle is gone. The holy place, all that's gone. It's out of the way, friends. That verse says, by whom also we have access, watch this, by faith, I'm going to come back to that, into this what? Grace wherein you what? You and I as believers, we have a standing. We talk about standing and state, position and practice, identity and conduct. See the difference there? You and I, we have a standing in grace. Remember, the first time God appeared after bringing Israel out of Egypt, the first time He appeared to Israel, what was it like? It was terrifying.
Big deal.
The whole mountain was on fire and the whole earth was shaking, the earthquake and so forth, the trumpet blasting so loud it was ear-piercing and so forth. Israel said to Moses, you go speak with God. We don't want to talk to Him. We're terrified. Moses said, so am I. He said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's the nature of attempting to approach God and gain access on the basis of the law. Do you really want to approach God that way? Is that how you want God to deal with you? The answer is no. No. Instead, God places us into the exact relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. And, of course, the Spirit, by the way. It's grace. Unconditional love. Unconditional acceptance. Blessed, complete, sealed, seated. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. There's no terror there in the sense of you're going to get kicked out or destroyed. The earth's not shaking. It's not producing fear. It's producing what? Peace. Gratitude. Wow. Truly amazing. He says here, by whom also we have access. What's this now? Next two words. So the access is there. You really are there. You really do stand in grace. But what do we need to do to, quote unquote, experience it? You got to believe it so. See that there? You really do stand in the grace of God. You really and truly are in Christ. Really, it says so. Do you always feel like it? Do you always experience in life the reality of the loving, marvelous relationship that exists between the Father and the Son? No, we don't. But can we? So how do you do it? By faith. By believing moment by moment by moment. By believing it is so. No matter the difficulty of the situation, no matter the doubt, the discouragement, the depression, whatever it might be, you say, wait a minute. I am in Christ. I'm in the exact fellowship, in the exact relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. I choose to believe that's where I stand. And I'm going to rest there. See that? Quickly, if you would, go over to Ephesians 2 now. Here in Ephesians 2. This is the next time Paul says this. Ephesians chapter 2. And he says this. Verse 18. For through Him... Okay, who's the Him? See, it's Christ there again. For through Him we both... The both is Jew and Gentile. All members of the body of Christ. For through Him we both have what? Access. Notice again, there are no limits to it. If you're in Christ, you have it. For through Him we both have access. Notice, by one Spirit, because the Spirit indwells us, every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. Every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. Did you know that? Some dispute that. Anyway, they go, what are you talking about? Listen to what he says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, what, know you not that your body... 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says this, what, know you not that your body... Whose body? Whose body is that right there in that verse? That's your individual personal body. That's not the body of Christ right there. The your body, that's you. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You do have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Look back at Ephesians chapter number 2. So when he says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in on this. Is that good or bad?
Good.
Look at this. He says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto who? I've said it before and you know it. Do you see the Godhead in that verse? Through Him is Christ. One Spirit, there's the Spirit, unto the Father. You and I have absolute, unfettered, unbroken, unconditional, unlimited access into the very relationship and fellowship and unity and love that exists among the Godhead.
Amen.
That's the access that you have. You're not going in some curtain here on the earth. You're not having to go into the veil that was here on the earth. You're not having to go through Aaron and his sons that didn't have blemishes. You're not having to go through the tribe. You're not having to go through Israel. You're not having to scale the wall. It's all been taken out of the way. Unbroken. Unfettered. Unlimited. Unconditional. Access. Every day. Every moment. Into the very presence of the gracious, loving, kind relationship and fellowship that exists among the Godhead. They're all actively involved in the access that you and I have. Chapter 3, quickly. Chapter 3, look what he says here. Verse 12. In whom we have... What's the next word there? Where does that come from? Not from human pride, not from the flesh, but the boldness that is the result of faith. That is, believing what God's Word says. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with what? Remember the contrast? You don't need to go and approach God with worried that He's going to snuff you out like Nadab and Abihu. You can have confidence. How come? Well, look at the next verse. Look at the next phrase. By the faith... What's the next word there? Your Bible better say of. Not in, but of. The faith of Him. The faith of who? You? No. It's not my faith and your faith that created this access. It's not my faith and your faith that created this relationship. The relationship that we have access into and where we do stand, where God put us and where God keeps us, that's a relationship that has existed eternally between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the relationship we've been placed into. The confidence, therefore, is not from us, not self-confidence, but the confidence that comes from the faith of Christ. His faith, His fidelity, His doing God's work on our behalf. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. So is access a wonderful thing? Well, it depends on It was. It's off the board now, but access was pretty good back then, but it was sure limited and it was terrifying. Potentially, you could lose your life and so forth. But it was access. Is that the access you want? The access that we have. We have boldness and access with confidence. By the faith of Him. Unlimited. Unbroken. Unfettered. Access into the very presence of God. That's why you can truly pray without ceasing. Talk to God all the time. Not just when you're riding down the freeway and mad and upset about the guy that cut you off or whatever. Talk to God all the time. Have confidence. It is the confidence born from Scripture. The boldness that comes from who Christ is. How He entered in on our behalf. And we entered with Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank You that Your Word does take the time to make it so clear, this marvelous access that You've given to us, this standing that we have because of and by the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that we would not just see it, but that we would truly, truly utilize it by faith each and every day as we face the details of life. And we'll thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen.